When you got that bad advice, did the person look at you and say, listen, let me give you some really ungodly counsel? They didn't say that, did they? It comes with no warning, if you will. Here's one thing to do. Look at the person's life. What's their life look like? Look at the fruit in their life and you can see a lot of good things. If there's good fruit, it may be good advice. If you don't see good fruit, chances are real good it's not good advice that they're offering you.
Welcome to Cross the Bridge with David McGee, the senior pastor of The Bridge in Kernersville, North Carolina. At The Bridge, David McGee has assisting pastors, and one of those is Neil. Welcome to the program today, Neil.
Thanks, Bob. Good to be here with you. Good to be in the studio today. And as always, you hear me say it a lot, excited about getting into the teaching. We have been taught here to dig deep in the Word. Pastor David's got some good stuff, and a lot of this is going to be on counsel. Seeking the right kind of counsel, making sure to seek counsel before making decisions. And this is what this chapter is about, and Pastor David does a great job of us being able to make application of these truths.
That's true. And I do want to remind our listeners that we're a little bit PG on this teaching today. So let's listen as David McGee shares verse by verse through 2 Samuel chapter 13.
Turn with me to 2 Samuel chapter 13. While you're turned there, let's quickly review, you know, what happened in 11 and 12. David falls with Bathsheba, and then Nathan comes and tells him a story about this shepherd and the sheep. And it's easy for David to see the sin in the other people, which is a trait that we have as well. And at this point, David has confessed, God has forgiven him. But God also said, you know what, David, because this happened, the sword's never going to depart from your house. And so we're going to see this fulfillment in this chapter. 2 Samuel chapter 13, verse 1 says, after this, Absalom, the son of David, had a lovely sister whose name was Tamar. And Amnon, the son of David, loved her. Amnon was so distressed over his sister Tamar that he became sick, for she was a virgin. And it was improper for Amnon to do anything to her. So let's explain here. Now, this was a large family. They had several mothers and different mothers and different children of the different mothers. But it was still against the Mosaic law to marry your half-sister, stepsister, however you want to phrase that. And we know that these men were of different mothers. 2 Samuel chapter 3, verses 2 and 3. Sons were born to David in Hebron. His firstborn was Amnon by Ahinoam the Jezreelitess. His second, Chileab, by Abigail, the widow of Nabal the Carmelite. The third, Absalom, the son of Maacah, the daughter of Talmai, king of Geshur. So that tells us they had different mothers. And then since it says that Tamar was the sister of Absalom, we know that Tamar had a different mother than Amnon, but still they had the same father, so they couldn't be wed. Now, what we're going to see here unfolding in this chapter is we're going to see Amnon, Absalom, and Tamar all affected by this prophecy that was spoken over David. Now, that doesn't release them of any responsibility. It just kind of predicted in advance the outcome. Amnon felt this way, was having these thoughts. This is the time for Amnon to stop what he's thinking and getting ready to do. See, again, we talked about here that, you know, we get it planned out in our mind long before our body gets in trouble. It's our mind that leads us down that path. Now, keep in mind, this was prohibited in the book of Leviticus, chapter 18, verse 9. It says, the nakedness of your sister, the daughter of your father, or the daughter of your mother, whether born at home or elsewhere, their nakedness you shall not uncover. The nakedness of your son's daughter or your daughter's daughter, their nakedness you shall not uncover. For theirs is your own nakedness. The nakedness of your father's wife's daughter, forgotten by your father, she is your sister, you shall not uncover her nakedness. And then Deuteronomy chapter 27, 22 says, cursed is the one who lies with his sister, the daughter of his father, or the daughter of his mother. And all the people shall say amen. So it lays out in Scripture. Doesn't matter if you're half sister, half brother. Doesn't matter. You can't be with one another. We'll see what happens. Verse 3. But Amnon had a friend whose name was Jonadab, the son of Shimeah, David's brother. Now Jonadab was a very crafty man. And he said to him, why are you the king's son becoming thinner day after day? Will you not tell me? Amnon said to him, I love Tamar, my brother Absalom's sister. Let me encourage you something. Be careful who you tell what to, because you can say something to the wrong person that will come back to mess with you. And in this case, Amnon picks the wrong guy to confide in. Because at this point, The person he was confiding in should have said, "Hey, Amnon, what are you thinking? You're the king's son. You're the firstborn. You're in line for the throne, and you're talking about marrying your half-sister. Dude, give it a rest. You need to leave that, go out of town, go on a retreat, something. Get your brain together on this. Don't do it." Is that what he says? Well, let's read on. Verse 5. "So Jonadab said to him, 'Lie down on your bed and pretend to be ill. And when your father comes to see you, say to him, please let my sister Tamar come and give me food and prepare the food in my sight that I may see it and eat it from her hand.'" This is bad advice. But you know the problem with bad advice? It's never labeled as bad advice. When somebody gives you advice, they don't say, "Hey, you know, let me tell you something. It's going to be really stupid and you're going to hurt yourself, but let me tell you what you ought to do." They don't ever say that. How great it would be, you know, if when somebody started, you know, giving you bad advice, there's a little balloon that popped over their head or something. "This is horrible advice," you know, or some warning, "Danger, Will Robinson," you know, so when they're saying it. But that doesn't happen, does it? But here's the thing. Be careful who you take advice from. Be careful who you take advice from. Psalm chapter 1, and I've referred to this psalm a lot here lately. Psalm chapter 1, verse 1 says, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night." The counsel of the ungodly, the path of sinners. I was just speaking with somebody earlier about, you know, we need to, psychology is an interesting study of behavior and of the human brain and whatnot. But we need to be very careful because there are people out there that are trying to integrate those studies and those principles into the Bible. Be very careful because the people that came up with a lot of those foundational truths, such as, you know, Maslow and Freud and Skinner and all these guys, were not Christian. So understand, they're coming at it from the concept of God does not exist, sin does not exist, humankind has invented this thing called guilt in order to deal with the wrongdoing. So understand, you have to be real careful. Now, that verse says, you know, don't walk in the counsel down in Gandhi. But again, here's everybody in here has gotten bad advice. Is that a granted? Can we take that for granted? Anybody in here not ever get any bad advice? Okay. No liars in the house tonight. Praise God. When you got that bad advice, did the person look at you and say, listen, let me give you some really ungodly counsel? They didn't say that, did they? So again, it comes with no warning, if you will. Here's one thing to do. Look at the person's life. What's their life look like? What does their family look like? What does their wife, if it's a male, what does their wife look like? Well-loved, blessed? If it's a woman, what does the husband look like? Well taken care of, well loved. If not, warning. If they're trying to share with you how to raise their kids, how's it going with their kids? Look at the fruit in their life and you can see a lot of good things. If there's good fruit, it may be good advice. If you don't see good fruit, chances are real good. It's not good advice that they're offering you. Life lesson, be very careful who you receive counsel from. Be very careful who you receive counsel from. There's a lot of people out there that appear like they are gifted in the area of counseling. The problem is when you hold them up to the litmus test of the Bible, then you start to see stuff where it's like, well, that's not really right, and that's not right, and this isn't right, and is this scriptural? That's not really scriptural. A lot of counseling is built on this premise. Let's go back into your past and figure out what got messed up that you are the way you are today. There's a couple problems with that. Number one, Paul said, forgetting those things which are behind us, let's go on. Let's press forward to the calling of Christ Jesus. See, because when we start to dig in our past, here's what happens. A lot of times we discover that we've been a victim. When you discover this, friend, what answer have you really come to? You've discovered that something bad was done to you, that some horrible thing occurred, and does that really answer how you became who you are today? No, it doesn't. The reality is we are who we are today because, well, we were born into a fallen human race. We were born with a sinful nature. You may not like that answer. I don't like that answer, but that is the answer. We have an innate, sinful, fallen nature that we need salvation from. If you think that man and women have innate human goodness, you don't have children. You don't. Because once you have children, you realize There is no such thing as innate human goodness. If you don't have children and you're wondering about this, just go over to the children's ministry one time. And that's not that they're just inherently evil. They just, you know, and I've talked about this before. You don't teach your children to go, mine, and be selfish, do you? No. But do they do that? Absolutely. Hopefully you didn't teach them that. If you did, again, free biblical counseling. Just call the church. Well, that's bad. Don't teach your children that. But they do that. And it's so devastating, the first child you have, when they look you right in the eye and they lie to you, and you're just like, I can't believe they did. Your mama teach you that? You know? Okay, so you figure out bad things happen to you, like they've happened to all of us. Now you become the victim. Is that really an answer? Does that really help? Because at the best, that type of counseling can only look at you and say, wow, you're wounded. You've been wounded. Okay, we're finished. That's it. We've discovered you're wounded. Where's the hope? Where's the redemption? There is none in that. The answer lies in understanding that we're all fallen human beings, sinful, and we need forgiveness from Jesus Christ, and we need a relationship with Jesus, and we need to come to Him and be forgiven and develop that relationship. There's something about us that likes feeling like a victim. Oh, well, you understand. Everybody else has done me wrong, and I've never done anything wrong. It just feels good, and it sounds good. Problem is, that's not what you need to hear. As much as you may want to hear it, that it's everybody else's fault, what you need to hear is, you know what? There's things in your life you need to address. And until you address those things, you're going to keep experiencing the same circumstances. Oftentimes from this platform, I have to say things that I know you guys, you know, I know some things I'll say are just a blessing, and I'm going to get some hallelujahs and some amens. And then I know talking about some of this stuff tonight, I'm going to get, I don't like that. Well, I don't like saying it, to be honest, because, you know, I listen to the recordings. So I get convicted as well. But here we have this guy giving this advice. Amnon will take the advice. He will end up a rapist committing incest and end up being killed. Good advice or bad advice? Bad advice.
You're listening to Pastor David McGee on Cross the Bridge. He'll be back with more in just a moment. But first, if you haven't been to our website at crossthebridge.com yet, what are you waiting for? Go to crossthebridge.com to learn more about how listeners like you are helping get the life-changing truth of God's Word to more people through the radio, internet, and mobile technologies. At crossthebridge.com, you can also check out our broadcast schedule, listen to more teaching from Pastor David, and sign up for Pastor David's free daily devotional. And there's more there, too. So visit crossthebridge.com today. Now, here's Pastor David as he continues sharing verse by verse.
Verse 6, then Amnon lay down and pretended to be ill, and when the king came to see him, Amnon said to the king, please let Tamar, my sister, come and make a couple of cakes for me in my sight that I may eat from her hand. You know, part of the other thing that makes this so sinister is the guy included David in this plot. Go get David. Go get David. Think about this. Get David to offer his daughter to you, which is what happened. Fathers, you need to consider that. I understand. I mean, if you've got a daughter, you're going to fight over her clothes. That's it. I mean, you just let it be on. It's going to happen. Don't duck that fight. I was talking with a Christian brother one time, and he said, you know, sometimes Christian fathers remind me of Lot when he was turning out his two daughters to the strangers and saying, take them. Some battles are worth fighting. It's a battle worth fighting. And here's another mistake. Amnon didn't say, well, gee, this guy, he gave me this advice. Hey, what do you think? He didn't ask anybody else. Because if he'd asked somebody else, they'd have said, man, that's bad advice. Don't do it. Here's what the Bible says about that. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 22 says, without counsel, plans go awry, but in the multitude of counselors, they are established. And another proverb, 24:6 says, for by wise counsel, you will wage your own war, and in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. There's safety. The life lesson here, seek counsel before taking action on an important decision. Seek counsel before taking action on an important decision. Talk to some people. Talk to some people that are mature in the Lord, that have good fruit in their life, and say, hey, I'm thinking about this. What do you think of this? And listen to their answer. Now, the multitude of counselors, there is safety. Okay, but here's what you need to be careful. Let me balance this out. Sometimes when we're looking to get an answer, we know the answer we're looking for. We go to somebody and we say, well, you know, I really want to do this thing, but as a preliminary, I'm going to ask somebody what I should do. What should I do? You shouldn't do that. I don't like your answer. I'm going to go ask somebody else. Hey, what do you think I ought to do? Well, you shouldn't do that. I don't like that answer either. When you're in this phase, make sure you're just not looking for the answer you want to get, that you're truly open to counsel, because sometimes you'll just keep asking until you get the answer that you wanted to get to begin with, and that's not really benefiting you. Verse 7. And David sent home to Tamar, saying, now go to your brother Amnon's house and prepare food for him. So you see how David gets involved in this thing? And David, he's being deceived, and you have to wonder, did he actually pray about this or didn't? You know, I have to think some buzzer, some bell went off in his head that he didn't listen to. And this is, you know, David in his permissiveness here sends his daughter to a very bad place. Bad things are going to happen. You understand, as a parent, you can't be popular with your child. I think a lot of times moms and dads, they try to be their child's buddy and their friend. And you can do that. Let me encourage that. But there's going to be times when you're not your child's friend. And my dad, you know, I used to try to pull that on my dad. I'd say, Daddy, you're not my friend. You don't let me go do that. And he said, I'm not your friend. I'm your daddy. There's going to be times when you're going to be unpopular. And you know what? If you're caring and somewhat controlling of your child, there will be times when your child doesn't like you and doesn't appreciate it. But if you're not caring and controlling enough, listen to me closely. It may cost your child their virginity and perhaps even their life. So maybe we should be okay with not being popular with our children every now and again. David makes a mistake. Verse 8, so Tamar went to her brother Amnon's house, and he was lying down. Then she took flour and kneaded it and made cakes in his sight and baked the cakes. And she took the pan and placed them out before him, but he refused to eat. And then Amnon said, have everyone go out from me. And they all went out from him. That's the first warning sign. I mean, this is getting set up. Maybe at this point, somebody, you know, Tamar, you shouldn't be alone with Amnon. I guess because they were in the same family. You know, people thought it'd be okay, but... Verse 10, then Amnon said to Tamar, bring the food in the bedroom that I may eat from your hand. And Tamar took the cakes which she had made and brought them to Amnon, her brother, in the bedroom. Now, when she had brought them to him to eat, he took hold of her and said to her, come lie with me, my sister. Those words should never go together. Come lie with me, my sister. That's just wrong on a lot of different levels. Verse 12. But she answered him, no, my brother, do not force me, for no such thing should be done in Israel. Do not do this disgraceful thing. So she's trying to reason with him. Verse 13. And I, where could I take my shame? And as for you, you would be like one of the fools in Israel. Now, therefore, please speak to the king, for he will not withhold me from you. She's saying, go to David, tell him that, you know, you love me and you want to marry me and maybe he'll do it. Now, this is kind of sad. It's kind of a sad commentary that she thinks David will do something that's in violation of Scripture. Let me ask you a question. Why would she think that? Because of Bathsheba. And we're going to see that David's kind of dealing with that. And I wonder how differently David's response to his kids would have been if he wouldn't have been suffered under the shame and the guilt of the issue of the thing with Bathsheba. Verse 14, however, he would not heed her voice, and being stronger than she, he forced her and lay with her. He raped her. Ladies, if a man is being forceful with you in any way, let the warning signals fly. This shows you, number one, that he's not a godly man and he doesn't really care for you in the way that he should. Move on. At the very least, the motives that he's showing you are mixed. At the very worst, they're the only motives. Look at verse 15. Then Amnon hated her exceedingly, so that the hatred with which he hated her was greater than the love with which he had loved her. And Amnon said to her, arise and be gone. Cold and calloused. He raped her and then said, I'm done. Get out of here. I hate you. Love can turn to lust, but it's a very rare thing that lust turns to love. It's a very rare thing. And what we see here is lust turn into hate. How to tell lust and love the difference? Well, one of the ways is, well, we're told love is patient, love is kind, love does not seek its own, is what 1 Corinthians 13 tells us. See, love seeks to bless others. Lust seeks to bless itself. And in a relationship with somebody who's just always seeking to bless themselves, then that would appear to be a lustful relationship. But if they're seeking to bless others, then there may be love. If a man, well, I guess I should flip that around too. If you're a man and a woman's pushing you to do something physically, sexually, and you're not married, there's a problem. Be careful. I love that saying, true love waits. Verse 16, so she said to him, no, indeed, this evil of sending me away is worse than the other that you did to me. But he would not listen to her. She's saying, you know what? That you raped me was bad. The fact you're trying to now send me away is worse. Why? Because there was an understanding of this happened that the man would do the honorable thing and then marry the woman. And now he's not only dishonoring her through rape, now he's dishonoring her even more, saying, get out of here. Get out of here. And her response is interesting. Verse 17, then he called a servant who attended him and said, here, put this woman out, away from me, and bolt the door behind her. That's interesting. If you're in the New King James, I don't know if it's the New Living Translation, does the same thing. When it says, here, put this woman out, that word woman is in italics. When you read the Bible and you see a word in italics, what that means is it's not in the original language. It's put there to kind of continue the thought. That word woman is not in there. What he actually said was, here, put this out, away from me, and bolt the door behind her. Verse 18, now she had on a robe of many colors, for the king's virgin daughters wore such apparel. And his servant put her out and bolted the door behind her. Then Tamar put ashes on her head and took her robe of many colors that was on her and laid her hand on her head and went away crying bitterly. She tore the sleeves off and her actions, what she was doing was she was actually going through the motions of mourning a husband who had been killed or died. This man had taken something from her that he never should have taken. Let me share something with you. If you're a young person in here and you're a virgin, be so careful. In years of being in ministry, I've never spoken to one person who regretted waiting. Not one. But I've spoken to a lot of people, all of them, who regretted not waiting. Heard the story about this girl. She was in high school and everybody knew that she was waiting until marriage, and they would make fun of her, you know, Snow White and all these jokes, you know. And she prayed, she said, Lord, I don't know what to tell these people. And after much prayer, she felt like the Lord spoke to her. And so they started picking on her one day, and she stood up and she said, you know what? Who I am is God's gift to me. My purity is my gift back to God. And she said to them, she said, you know what? And keep in mind that any weekend I want to, I can go be like one of y'all and not be pure anymore and not be a virgin. But you guys can never, ever, ever again be like I am now. Remember that, young people. Once it's gone, it's gone. Now, I believe scripturally, I believe theologically that if you blow it, you come to Jesus and you say, Jesus, please forgive me of my sins. And Jesus will do that. But what we're seeing in this chapter is a lot of times the consequences of the forgiven sin are still there. And you may pay for them for a long time. And they're not always in correlation to how deep and dark the sin is. I mean, there's people out there that catch AIDS first time they're with somebody. I don't understand that. Doesn't necessarily seem fair to me, but I'm not the judge. The consequences are often more than we thought they would be. And when lust is involved, people get hurt. When love's involved, people get blessed. When lust is involved, people get hurt. Verse 20, and Absalom, her brother, said to her, has Amnon, your brother, been with you? But now hold your peace, my sister. He is your brother. Do not take this thing to heart. So Tamar remained desolate in her brother Absalom's house. Let me explain. When David sent for her, she was in one house. She couldn't be in that house anymore because that was a place for the virgin daughters of the king. She couldn't go back to that house. And Absalom said, you can come live with me and I'll protect you and I'll take care of you. A loving brother. However, there could be some mixed motives here with Absalom that we're going to get into.
Friend, do you know for sure that your sins have been forgiven? You can know right now. I want to lead you in a short, simple prayer. Simply telling God you're sorry and asking Him to help you to live for Him. Please pray this prayer with me out loud right now. Dear Jesus, I believe you died for me that I could be forgiven. And I believe you were raised from the dead that I could have a new life. And I've done wrong things. I have sinned. And I'm sorry. Please forgive me of all those things. Please give me the power to live for you all of my days. In Jesus' name, amen. Friend, if you prayed that prayer, according to the Bible, you've been forgiven, you've been born again. Jesus said he would not turn anybody away who comes to him, and he came for those people who knew they needed forgiveness, those who were sick, not the righteous. So congratulations, friend, you just made the greatest decision that you will ever make. God bless you.
If you prayed that prayer with David for the first time, we'd love to hear from you. You can visit crossthebridge.com to receive our First Steps package with helpful resources to help you begin your walk with Christ. You can also write to Cross the Bridge at P.O. Box 12515, Winston-Salem, North Carolina 27117, and share how God is working in your life. Now, before we go, in a world that seems chaotic at every turn, Jesus wants you to experience peace this year. He wants you to experience His shalom, which is wholeness, joy, and hope, no matter what the circumstances are that you face every day. Neil, do we have a resource that can help our listeners with this?
Yeah, Bob. Pastor David wrote a simple book that can show you how to experience this shalom that you were just talking about. It's easy to read and full of great analogies to share powerful biblical truths. Cross the Bridge to Life, Discover Your Adventure will be a blessing to any of our listeners, Bob.
You know, that's a great gift to thank any of our listeners that financially support us to help more people cross the bridge from death to life. Go to crossthebridge.com to request your copy today.
Also, each day you can wake up with encouragement from Pastor David through the Word of God with his email devotional. Life lessons to consider, daily reading plan, and even biblical thoughts to meditate on throughout your day from the heart of Pastor David.
Yes, Neil, and it's free and easy to sign up today at crossthebridge.com. Thanks again for listening, folks, and we hope you'll join us next time as we continue studying verse by verse through 2 Samuel.